Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast. Every now and again, the Lord throws off my patterns and my plans and how I tend to operate. Normally, I plan out my sermons about a year in advance, and then I write them. I do my outline 2 or 3 months in advance, and then the week of, I adjust it and tweak it for the week of. And every now and again, he throws that curveball at me. And today, we are not doing the series that we've been doing this month, and we are not doing the message that I had written for today. We are doing something completely, totally different. And I wrote it on Monday. Okay? This is a message that I have avoided. I have spoken about this subject before. We have talked about this. It's something that I've preached about before, but not like this, and not with this kind of heaviness attached to it. And I have avoided it for a number of reasons, and I am hesitant to share this message with you today for those reasons. So just as a heads up, I need you guys to understand. I feel like this is what we need to hear. I feel like this is what God has given me to share with you. I feel like this is the moment for that. But I am very nervous, apprehensive, maybe a little scared, because I do not want to see any of you avoid Jesus because of this message. I don't want to lose any of you because of this message. I don't want to see any of you turn your back on the church or turn your back on what Christ is doing and wants to do in your life because of this message. Because I know many of you come with your own burdens and your own struggles and your own church history, and some of you your own church trauma. And when churches have talked about this stuff, it has been very pointed and very heavy and very hurtful. And I'm going to do my best to honor God in this and to honor Him with the words and that it would be His message. But I need you to understand that where my heart is, I'm trying to be obedient with these words. And I don't want to lose any of you. Are you tracking with me? I know I'm being a little cryptic, but that's my heart here. Okay? Because what we've got to talk about today, is money. And like I said, I've preached on money before, but not quite like this. 1 Kings chapter 17. The prophet Elijah has been living, he's been living in the wilderness. He has been living beside a river, and ravens have been bringing him food, and he's been drinking the water. And eventually the water dries up, and there's no more river. And so this is what God says. This is what happens. So starting in verse 7, we're going to start in verse 7. It says, sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went. And when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. So she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. I've heard other guys preach on this, and what they point out and what I think we need to understand and see here is they were in this situation where economically, the economic situation was horrible. Everybody was running out of food. And this poor widow and her son were starving to death. They had enough for one last meal, and then they were out of food, and they were going to die. And Elijah goes to her. Well, actually, God speaks to her, and then Elijah shows up and says, actually, before you feed your son, your starving son, you feed me first. And then she does it. And because she does it, she's actually able to keep her and her family from starving to death. But it took that step of faith to feed Elijah first, to give and be obedient to God first. But they were in this situation where they were out of food, and this guy shows up and says, actually, feed me instead of your son. In John chapter 6, 9 to 13, the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. It says, a boy came with five small barley loaves and two small fish. And the disciples said, how far will this go among 5,000 people? And Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and so they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. And Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed it to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. And so they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. They're there, everybody is hungry, everybody doesn't have food, and what happens is this little boy who is smart enough to bring a lunch, brings his lunch, and gives his whole lunch. He doesn't eat what he wants and give the leftovers. He takes his whole lunch, gives it to Jesus, and then Jesus is able to take that and multiply it and feeds 5,000 people, so much so that there are actually leftovers. Malachi chapter 3. Starting in verse 9, the prophet Malachi says to the Israelites, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." "I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe," says the Lord Almighty. "Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land," says the Lord Almighty. Three passages. I think the statement's the same in all three of them. There is need. There's a problem. People are going without. And God says to his people, "You need to give first, and then I take care of your needs." If you continue in this situation, you're going to go hungry. If you continue in this situation, you're going to starve. If you continue in this situation, things are not going to work out. But if you give to me first, and give to me what I'm asking you to give, you will be blown away with what I can do with that. This is what I think we need to understand today. There's a reality that we need to face. That God won't multiply it if you don't give it to him. God won't multiply it if you don't give it to him. I get the situation we're in. You're dealing with a trade war with the U.S., tariffs, the economy is up and down, it's looking like we're going to be going through a federal election. Who knows what's going to happen there and how that's going to play out and what that's going to mean for your jobs and the price of things. The price of things continues to go up, and the price of things have gone up, but raises haven't matched that, and things are just getting more expensive and stranger, and the future is just so uncertain. And you are all feeling the pinch. You are all feeling that pressure. And the math just doesn't make sense. And you're looking at it and you're thinking, how am I supposed to provide for myself and for my family in these crazy, uncertain economic times? There are 5,000 hungry people and no food. The economy stinks and I've got enough for one last meal. How am I supposed to give in that situation? That's the situation we're in personally, and it's also the situation we're in as a church. Our bank account is down to, as of the end of February, we were down to about $7,000 in the account, which sounds like a lot of money, but when you look at heating bills that are $3,000 or $4,000, and salary payments and repairs. And I mean, we've spent a lot of money. We've done the roof, we've done the boiler, we've done the electrical, we set up the apartment, we did all that stuff. But that was all necessary stuff for us to even function. But what having only $7,000 in our bank account means is that we're one bad month away from being in the red. What that means is, as we've been watching our money over the past several years, ever since the pandemic, we have been slowly bleeding on our savings and what we have stored up, and we have gotten lower and lower and lower, and our expenses continue to be higher than our income. And so I met with the board last week and reviewed our finances as we do every month. And when we were looking at it, we determined that something needed to be done. And there's two things you can do. You can either increase giving or you can cut expenses. And so we as a board determined that we had to take a drastic measure. And we're going to have to lay off Pastor Brad. That is not a, we want to get rid of Pastor Brad, we don't want Pastor Brad here, or anything like that. We're in the situation where we were thinking we had to lay him off as soon as we were able to. I had a conversation with the DS, who was here last week. The district has given us a check for $4,000. That's what this is. Darren, our treasurer, said we needed about $5,000 to keep him on until the end of April. So the district gave us $4,000. Heidi and I are given another grand. So we've got him until the end of April. And that's what I can guarantee, is that we got him until the end of April. I don't know beyond that. He's going to take some time off to be with the new baby. And I would like to be able to say that when he comes back from that time off, I'd have a job for him, but I don't know if I can say that. And so, we're feeling the pinch. And I think we as a church are at that critical point where we need to face this reality and take a step of faith and make sure that we, like the widow, are being obedient to what God is asking us to do. See, that one of the key things I think with that story isn't that Elijah just showed up and said, I need your bread, give it to me. It was that God had already spoken to the widow. God had already been stirring in her heart and saying, I'm going to send somebody to you, and you've got to meet that need. And Elijah showed up and clarified that. And she was faced with the challenge, do I feed my starving son or do I feed this stranger that God has called me to feed? God won't multiply it if you don't give it to him. And so she was obedient to God's call of giving. And when she did that, her and her son lived. When the boy gave his lunch, he and the disciples and 5,000 other people were fed full with leftovers. And God declares to the Israelites in Malachi, if you give what I have called you to give, test me on it. You won't have enough room for what I'm going to give you. Elijah says to the widow, do not be afraid. I completely believe in the ministry that Pastor Brad has had here and the work he's doing with our teens and the work he's doing with our kids' ministry and all the other things that he's been pushing on and leaning into and how he's been growing and maturing and how he is speaking and the work that he is doing and the call on his life and how he has been effective here in making a difference. That's why I'm putting my money in behind him. I need you to know that I'm behind him. Okay? But we as a church need to understand that if we want to see what God has for us next, we need to be obedient to his calling. And disobedience will not get us further in the kingdom of God. And it will not continue to advance the kingdom of God. We need to be obedient. And actually, in talking with Pastor Brad this week and sitting down and talking with the DS and praying through this and thinking through it, we are of the opinion that if our church will lean in to taking a step of faith and will be obedient with their finances, with their giving, that not only will our financial situation change as a church, but we will see the kingdom of God take more ground. Not because money changes it, but because your obedience. And when we are obedient, God does miraculous multiplication. He does incredible outpouring of his Spirit when we are obedient. Money doesn't change things. Obedience does. And I believe that if we are faithful in obedience to what God is calling us to do, in taking that crazy step of faith where we are starving, we are in economic strife, when things are not working, the math does not make sense, and we continue to be obedient to what he has called us to do, I believe that we are going to see more people saved, we're going to see more people changed, we're going to see marriages saved, we're going to see healings, we're going to see crazy, incredible things happen. But as long as we are disobedient, don't expect that to happen. God won't multiply it if you don't give it to him. Our budget, our annual budget, was set for about $200,000. That means we've got to bring in a little under $20,000 a month. And we haven't been bringing that in. Our attendance for adults is averaging about 120 people each week. Which, you know that you're not here every week, and there's some rotation, so we're probably closer to 175 or 200 adults that call this their home church, okay? So say 150, say 150 people, no, we'll say 100 people, say 100 adults, we need $20,000 a month, you guys can do some math, figure all that out of what that would look like, but it's not about the math. The math is there just to say, I don't think it's unreasonable. I don't think our budget is wrong. I think we need to take a step of obedience. I believe that God has already been talking to many of you. And it's time to obey. It's time to take that leap of faith. whatever it is that he is calling you to give, and give each month, it is time to take that step of faith. Tithing is an Old Testament concept that says that you give God 10% of whatever you bring home, the first 10%, the first fruits. That means I look at my paycheck, I know what I'm getting paid, I take 10% off of that, and that is just budgeted in, that goes to the church every month regardless. But that's an Old Testament concept. The New Testament concept is that the believers gathered, sold everything they had, and gave it. And so I'm asking all of you to put your credit cards in the plate this morning. Amen? Give me the Rolex. Give me the... I need an airplane here, folks. What was that? No, that's not what this message is about. It's not about me getting a fancy watch or bolstering my salary or something like that. The New Testament concept is to acknowledge that everything we have belongs to God. And if he's calling you to tithe, it's time to start tithing. And if he's calling you to give more than that, then it's time to give more than that. If it's time for you to just start the giving process and you're like, man, I don't know. But maybe he whispers to you and he says, I just want you to give 5. I just want you to give 3%. Just start with 3% and I will show you that I am faithful. Whatever it is that he's putting on your heart. It's not really about the dollar amount, folks. The math doesn't make sense. In God's economy, the math doesn't make sense. What matters is that you are obedient to what he says. You do what he says. And I guess the opposite is true, that if God won't multiply it if you give it to him, I would venture to say that he will multiply it if you give it to him. And so it's time to give. And if I can figure out some way to keep Pastor Brad on, and if I can find a way, and if our giving, and what really needs to happen is that we our giving culture needs to shift. Because I can't bring Brad on a month-to-month basis. Right? We have to be consistently meeting budget for me to be able to say, yes, Pastor Brad, stay here. Don't move. Don't take another job. Right? That's not fair. And this isn't just about Pastor Brad. This is about the future of our church. And it's about you and your finances. It affected the widow. How she obeyed God affected Elijah, it affected his ministry, but it also affected her and her family. We need to give. Whatever that looks like. If you give me all the ingredients to make a pie, do you know what you'll get? A mess. You know what I do if somebody gives me the ingredients for a pie? I will either give it to Heidi, to my mother-in-law, or my mother. And do you know what you'll get? Glory. The math doesn't equate. I've got a bunch of stuff. It should equal the same as a pie, but it doesn't. But when I give it to the people that know what they're doing, it turns into this miraculous thing. God won't multiply it if you don't give it to him. The worship team's going to come up. We're going to spend some time in worship. And this is a good time to wrestle through, to process, to consider what God is saying to you. And if you're wrestling with this, just lean into God, talk to Him, ask Him for that clarity, ask Him for the strength to take that step of faith. And if for some reason you're here and you're like, oh, they're just after my money, and you're thinking, I'm just going to turn away from the church and I'm just going to turn away from Jesus because of this, don't. Continue chasing Jesus. Continue that journey, whatever stage you are. I don't see what you give. Ultimately, it's not about the money, and I'm not going to treat you any differently if you give or you don't give. Okay, that's not the play here. I just know that this is what God has given me in the situation we're in. I believe that He won't multiply it if we don't give it to Him. And our church has faced obstacles and faced challenges before, and we have pushed through in steps of obedience. And when we push through, and when we have pushed through in the past in the steps of obedience, we are what we are now. We used to have like 4 kids and like 70 people in the building. Now we're running about 150. We're running out of room for the kids. People are being saved. People are being baptized. People are being changed because of the steps of obedience that we've been taking, and God is leading us someplace. I believe that God wants to multiply and do incredible things, and that there is a future, an incredible, miraculous, town-changing future for this church. But we need to obey and face the reality that He won't multiply it if we don't give it to Him.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.